Amen. 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 God's, you know, isn't He, you know, we worked on it a little bit and in the absence of Sister Pam and all of her family, didn't come together, but that song, Awesome God, and it's amazing. I've heard it several times since then. Our God, but our God is an awesome God. Sister Pam, you might have to cut Nathan loose on that one Sunday morning. Amen. He is an awesome God. And sometimes we don't feel too awesome in ourselves, do we? But we sure do have an awesome God that is far greater and far more remarkable than we ever probably can think of or imagine how wonderful and great He is. Well, it's 20 after 11, and I've got an hour and 15 minute sermon. No, not really. Not really. I do feel like many times after a move of the Holy Spirit like this, I don't really venture into preaching, but I'm going to condense this morning. I feel like I need to share this word this morning. So if you'll allow me, I'll try to be brief, okay? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We want to welcome, I'm assuming we're on the air now with EV Radio, and we want to welcome all those that may be listening by EV Radio. And it's just been a remarkable morning of worship and praise. You all bless my heart with your worship today. You bless my heart with your willingness to walk in obedience. It's the book of Titus. I'm going to read. And I'm sorry, guys. I forgot to give you. I just now realized I didn't give you my scripture. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things that you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Spirit and Your Word. Bless us in the rest of this service, in Jesus' name. Most oftentimes, most of us, when we think of the D word is the word discipline. The name of this message this morning is where discipline and grace collide. And when we begin to think of the D word, discipline, for most of it, it doesn't set too well. It has a negative connotation, if you would. For me, the D word discipline makes my mind race back into the late 1970s and a fellow that originated from over here in West Virginia. He just recently passed away. His name was Charles Carney. Charles Carney was the principal of George Wythe High School. Charles Carney practiced the Board of Education. Young people today, probably some of you that are in your early, you know, in your 20s or even your early 30s, you don't know what the Board of Education is. The Board of Education for Charlie Carney was about this long, this wide, this thick, and had holes drilled in it in the shape of a C, so that when the board got done, you remembered who your instructor was. Now, I'm not for being abusive, mind you. But sometimes I think we've lost a bit in discipline. But I can think about that, and to me, discipline, the D word, has negative connotation. You know, we associate it with somebody getting into my business. We don't like somebody disciplining us or disciplinary actions coming to us because it's somebody getting into my business or invading my space. Right? And discipline to us can be an interruption of our own self-independence and our own self-authority. And bless God, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. Amen? We don't like it. We learn it. We can observe it and learn it from our grandson, soon just getting ready to turn 4 years old. He's 3 years old, weighs what, 32 pounds, probably soaking wet, but he does not like the word no. Sister Sarah said she corrected him the other day, babysitting Friday. She corrected him and something, and he looked at her and laughed the whole time she was corrected. Mean as a snake. No, not really. He's a good kid. We don't like discipline. We struggle with it. We don't like it. From the little ones on up, we don't like even the little tap on the back of the hands. We are by and large, humanity in itself is a rebellious society. But in particular, we see right now in America, we see a rebellious society. We see people that don't want to receive instruction, whether it's through governmental, law enforcement, the church, whatever it could be, we're resistant to it. It concerns me personally, my son being a police officer, the attacks that is coming against law enforcement. I read something just the other day that said, if you don't want to have a run-in, if you don't want to have a bad run-in with a cop, just make sure you don't do anything to have a run-in with them. Okay? Now, are there bad cops? Sure, there probably are. Are there bad preachers? Sure, there are. Okay? The reality of it is, though, that we live in a society of rebellion. Police are public enemy number one. I don't urge you to join it, but if you've never heard of such, I would encourage you to take a look sometime. YouTube, Sovereign Citizenship. Going on right here. I promise you, there are some people right here in Mercer County, Tazewell County, that are practicing sovereign citizenship. They say, I don't have to give regards to any of the laws of the United States of America, West Virginia, or Virginia. Sovereign citizenship says, I am my own nation, I am my own country, and I can do what I want to and make up my own rules. They defy everything that is governed or disciplined over them. We see in schools, Frankie, are you back there? You should amen me right now. In schools, where's my school teachers at this morning? In schools, the instructors and schools down to the bus drivers have no authority anymore. I know I reminisce a lot. Forgive me, you younger ones, for reminiscing. But I rode Brown Eversoles, old bus number 8. If you didn't do what Brown said, Brown would open the door, stop on the side of the road and tell you, get off my bus. Those days don't happen anymore. And probably for a good reason. But when I went through bus driver training a few years ago in Virginia, and Frankie, you make an amen me here, we were told you can't do anything to discipline a child on your bus. You have to go tell the principal and let the principal handle it. And little heathenistic Johnny and sassy Susie, their parents come in and they do no wrong and life goes on. It's just where we're at as a society. We even see, and I believe the root of the problem actually occurs in the home. You see, because, let me say, we have lost the biblical model of the home, where the dad is the head of the household. But it's not just that the mom is the head of the household. It's the children have become the head of the household. We see a reverse order that has happened in the home. And little Johnny and little Susie are telling mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa what's going to go on. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Little Johnny and little Susie need to understand that they ain't the boss. Okay? They are the children that we love and we nurture and we grow and encourage, but they ain't the boss. So that role has been struggled. And then we're seeing children grow up, and that's where it starts. That is the root. And they're growing up to have no comprehension, or at least no regard to discipline. Saul struggled with discipline. Saul struggled when God brought rebuke through the words of Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. This is what Samuel, God brought through the voice of Samuel to Saul. He said, "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols." Hello. So whether we're little Johnny or little Susie, 3 years old, or whether we're some grumpy old man or some grumpy old lady, when we are rebellious in discipline, then we find that discipline, according to God's definition, it's the equivalent of witchcraft. How many of you would like for your kids to play with the Ouija boards? I hope you're saying no. I hope you don't have one in your house. Tarot cards are practice witchcraft in your home. But yet we can allow our kids to be rebellious in our home. Or we are adamant against witchcraft, and which witchcraft actually goes much beyond those things that I named. But yet we struggle when we're given direction. But understand this, even in our Christian walk, and this is my message, where discipline and grace collides. You see, when we serve God, and we have come to an age, and I touched on this in a message a few weeks ago, but we have come to the age where the biggest come off among Christianity or religion, and I hesitate to use that word, the biggest come off with Christianity has become this. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Phooey! I'm not supposed to judge you, but yet there are disciplines that are set in the Word of God, and grace and disciplines collide. Amen? Grace and discipline does collide in the Word of God. Now, is everything that's set in governmental law, is it in alignment with the Word of God? No, it's not. Okay? Is everything that's set in line in your school disciplines, are they set in line with the Word of God? No, they're not. Is everything that happens in your home, is it necessarily, well, we made this rule because the Bible said that and so forth. So no, it would be ridiculous to think that. But understand this, that grace brings to us discipline, and discipline and grace collide. The law has given, we call it the Old Testament, but all the rules and regulations, and we despise them, don't we? We hate it when somebody says, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't do that. It just aggravates us, doesn't it? Sometimes don't we, in that rebellious spirit, don't we just do something? You remember when your mom told you, now don't touch that eye on that stove because it's hot. But you did it anyway. Or is anybody, nobody else as dumb as me? You did it anyway because you didn't believe your mama. And you said, well, I'll touch it if I want to. I'll touch it if I want to. And then it's... And so we discipline is tough. We don't like it. But Paul told the Galatian church, and we find it in Galatians chapter 3, if you read along in verse 24 and 25 there, you find that the law or the disciplines of God bring us to salvation. It says the law, if you would, or the Old Testament, the rules, the regulations, they are our schoolmaster. That's what causes us to know. Listen, without disciplines, we will never know what's right or what's wrong. Without disciplines, it's everybody for his own thing. Heathens, if you would. Without disciplines, we would never have any. So disciplines help us to know. They help us to understand. But then grace becomes our teacher. Okay? So discipline in itself includes instruction, it includes reproof or correction, and it also includes the experience of providential hardships according to Scripture. All this, though, is for the daily development of our Christian character and our witness and ultimately the furtherance of the kingdom of God. You know, the word discipline actually doesn't refer to rules and regulations at all. You see, that's where we get messed up. Years ago, the manual of the Pentecostal Holiness Church used to be called the Discipline, and we thought that sounded too harsh, so we changed it from the Discipline to the Church Manual. And maybe that was a good thing. But the reality of it is discipline doesn't necessarily refer to rules and regulations, but discipline in itself means to teach. When old Charlie Carney had that Board of Education, and he did lift me up twice while I was in high school, I will tell you that. Put your hands on my desk, son. This is going to hurt you a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt me. You know? And it feels like your heels just come about that high off the floor. His intention was to teach me something. And he probably did keep me out of trouble in future days because I was headed down the wrong road and some of the two things that I got paddled over. Disciplines teach us. When God disciplines us, whether through word or by spirit or by the pastor or by a teacher or a leader or whatever, by your moms and dads, did you ever think that you could learn something from your moms and dads? Have you ever thought about that? Disciplines teach us. Teach us. And it's for our good and it's for our betterment. But ultimately in Christendom, it is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Because grace doesn't alleviate discipline. To the contrary, grace and discipline always go hand in hand. You see, with salvation, salvation comes through grace and sanctification, though a work of grace comes through discipline. You see, wholeness and holiness. Wholeness spelled with a W. Wholeness comes through grace. Holiness is learned through discipline. When we find ourselves growing in God, we not only find that, and we do live in the age of grace, we do live in a time of mercy, and thank God for mercy and grace, but in that we freely use the word disciple, but disciple is another spin-off of the word discipline, which is the word teach. God is wanting to teach us how to live godly and sanctified and holy lives amongst a world that is full of hate and corruption and bitter malice and wrath and all kind and all manner of ungodliness. So discipline is all about the development of our Christian character and witness and the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was noted to have made this quote, if you would. He said, "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate." So there's no way that we can have Jesus and not have discipline. Hello? We know we're working on, we've been doing some shopping. We're going to create some sound panels for in here so it doesn't bounce around. I'm getting a lot of bounce. Hello? 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 With grace comes discipline. God wants to teach us and bring us to that place. Grace and discipline, listen to this. I jokingly, some of you I don't even think called it. Charlie Carney said, "This is going to hurt you a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt me." How many of you have ever told your kids the opposite of that? "Well, it hurt me to spank you more than it hurt me." You told your children that, haven't you? Or maybe it wasn't a spanking. Maybe it was another correction, form of correction. And you said, "Well, it hurt me a whole lot worse than it hurt you." And you know, I never did necessarily understand that when I was a child. But listen, grace and discipline are both works of God's love. When you discipline your children, according to the Scripture, if you do not discipline your children, you do not love them. And if God does not discipline us, He does not truly love us. If He does not teach us, if He does not show us, if He does not learn us. In fact, the Hebrew writer said it this way in chapter 12. He said, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one He loves and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son." Hello. Not many of us are going around saying, "Jesus, I want you to love on me today." Now we say, "Lord, I want more of you. I need more of your love, Jesus. I need more of your love." And what if He comes down and stop that? That's not what we was looking for, is it? Let's admit it. But God is wanting to teach us. He's wanting to learn us. He's wanting to discipline us and take it. And grace and discipline collide. God intends for us to succeed in Him. Brother Danny, I spoke that over you up here a while ago. God intends for you to succeed in Him. But that same holds true for every one of us in this building this morning. He wants us to succeed in Him. And listen, I wanted my son to succeed. So I tried to teach my son, my physical son, as much as I could. He'll be turning 30 years old in a few months. And I'm still trying to teach him everything that I can so that he will succeed in life even after I'm gone. Some of it he's caught on to, some of it not necessarily true. But the reality of it is God wants us to succeed in Him. And Philippians, Paul wrote to them, he said, Philippians 1 and 6, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The work that God began in my life, in your life, His intention is to keep on doing it. What He saved you out of, He's going to save you from. What He's going to deliver, what He delivered you out of, He's going to continue to deliver you from. God is going to continue to work in His life. Listen, without disciplines, we're illegitimate children. Without disciplines, we're illegitimate children. This whole business, don't judge me. This whole business of, I had a guy just yesterday. He said, "I follow the teachings of Jesus. I don't follow rules and regulations." I understand the rules and regulations part, but if you don't follow the teachings of Jesus, there is going to be disciplines. Hallelujah. Echo. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12, going back there, chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, said this, endure hardships as discipline. He's speaking of troubled times. Learn what God is teaching us. God is treating you as His children. He's treating us as their children. You know, Sarah's daddy, I consider him a wise man, and he was over here a number of weeks ago. And Sarah's dad was one of 17, is that one of 16 children. And he tells me all the time, you know, he's at that age, you know, he tells a lot of things repeatedly. And he tells me very often, he said, now my daddy always said it was a whole lot better off to have not enough than to have too much. He said, another thing he said, my daddy always used to tell me that to be poor wasn't a disgrace, but being lazy was. I consider him a wise man. But the truth of the matter is this, though, when we find ourselves and in thinking of His wisdom and the knowledge that He has, He talks about how their mother and dad raised all 16 of those kids and taught them the things of life. And right living in life. And pursuing the things of God. We have a responsibility to do that. But this is what, finishing up Hebrews 12, 7 and 8. If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. Which means you're illegitimate. Then you are not legitimate. You are not true sons and daughters at all. If we cannot receive the discipline of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and godly living, then we are not sons and daughters at all. Somebody drop a pen. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? That's pretty tough. That sort of cuts us to the bone, doesn't it? But is it not what the Word of God tells us? If we can't accept the fact that there are disciplines to following Jesus, then we're really not sons and daughters at all. And it's not about all of the legalism about, you know, cutting hair and the length of your hair, the length of your dress, the length of your shirt sleeves, whether you can wear jewelry, whether you can not, you can wear makeup. I'm not talking about all of that stuff, okay? I'm talking about being godly followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Being godly followers of Jesus Christ. And pursuing living Christ-like lives. Disciplines, which are teachings, are of grace, say this. And I got to finish up. Listen. The teachings of grace say this. First it says, say no. See, I'm giving you all the negative up front. First thing is, it says we need to learn to say no. We need to learn to say no to ungodliness. We need to learn to say no to worldly passions, pleasure, and power. You know, years ago, and I understand a lot of the old Redback hymnal songs were written coming out of the era that we call the Great Depression. Some of them just prior to the years of Great Depression, the latter 1800s. And some of those songs, I still like them, but I don't know that they have their full of effect today in church, because a lot of those songs were just simply about, come on Jesus and get me, I want to die. Okay? And it's not that I was talking to a man the other day. He's a man that is not saved, and I was talking to him, but we was talking about eternity. And he said, I really enjoy living in this life. I said, so do I. I really enjoy living in this life. I'm not hoping that I die. You may be one of them that say, Lord, I wish Jesus would hurry up and come and get us out of this mess, or I wish He'd come on and get me out of this. I enjoy living. I love living. I love being with you all. I love my family. I enjoy it. All that, but I am ready for Jesus to come. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, but I look around and I know that we're people as Jesus believers that should be teaching and believing the imminent return of Jesus Christ, meaning that He can and will return at any given moment. He doesn't give us, you know, I don't get caught up in somebody wanting to tell me when Jesus is going to come back. I already know. So don't be trying to tell me. He's coming back on the day of the Lord in the hour that you think not. That's all I need to know. Okay? But I look around and I see people that are living to live. The world. The America. I see people that are living to live. The more we can get, the more we can obtain, the more we can accumulate. People, we are living to live. We're not living to die in this dimension of life. We're not living to live on the other side, mind you. We're living to live in this life. We're accumulating more and more and more and more and more. Sometimes we got to learn to say no to some of those things. Paul admonished the church at Corinth in putting away those things. Discipline is not going to occur in our actions until discipline occurs in our thinking. Until we start to think different, until we take on, you know, we used to call it, let me have the mind of God. It doesn't really matter what we try to do or what we attempt to do until we take on the mindset of God. The guy, I just tell you what, I envy him. I wish I had done it. And who knows how many millions of dollars he's made. The guy or the lady that thought up making a rubber band bracelet that had WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? Made millions of dollars over four initials on a rubber band. Why didn't I think of that? Of course, why didn't I think about you could put water in a bottle and sell it for $1.29 a bottle too, when you can go over to your faucet and just get it for free? But the reality of it is, we are to take on the mindset of Christ. Take on the mindset of Christ. What would Jesus do? What is His priority? How would He act? And then we begin to say yes. We begin to say yes to self-control. We begin to say yes to walking and living and being people of uprightness and integrity. We begin to be people that are godly living people. And by godly living, I mean three things. We give consideration to number one, ourself. We should take care of ourselves, not in a vain way. We give consideration to God. And then we give consideration to others, which are the three things that God has told us in the two commandments of promise. And lastly, the collision is the dual principle of grace as it collides with discipline, because grace brings forgiveness of sin and discipline provides the deliverance from the dominion of sin. Let me say this, and listen to me real, real good right here. I believe there are people that genuinely get saved. There are people that genuinely get saved but they continue to struggle with the effects of sin. You see, grace comes in and saves us. But discipline, teaching, teach me, O God, learn me your ways, teach me your precepts, teach me what it is to be like you, Jesus. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome. I will tell you a story. Y'all figured me out by now. You know, I love comedy. As long as it's, you know, decent. Problem with comedy nowadays, they make it filthy. That's the only thing, the way that the Hollywood or whoever you want to call it, that's the only way they think they can make anything funny is to make it filthy. I disagree with that. I love the Red Skelton show. You old people know what I'm talking about. Y'all know Red Skelton? Yeah. I loved Maxwell Smarts. I liked MASH. But one of my favorites was Sanford and Son. Aunt Esther. Grady. Fred. Lamont and Julio. One of my favorites. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it YouTube it, you can watch reruns. Aunt Esther actually reminded me of one of my aunts. And she'd look at Fred and she'd say, "You old fool. You old fish-eyed fool." Well, I thought that was cute. I thought that was pretty cute. Still pretty cute, but I have to sanctify myself. Okay? So I got in a real bad habit of going around looking at people saying, "You old fool. You old fish-eyed fool." I just doing it in jest, but it became a real habit. You know, sometimes we say stuff and we don't even know what we've done said. We do. We do. I got in a bad habit of calling people fish-eyed fools. Until some day a person opened the Bible and they said, "Have you ever read this verse of Scripture?" And I can't tell you exactly. I'd have to search and look. I'd have to do my Bible Gateway. But it says, "He that calls his brother a fool is in danger of hellfire and brimstone." And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And I still, every once in a while, and this has been many years ago. Those of you know, y'all know when Sanford's Son, that's back in the, whenever. That's back when I was just a little bitty boy and Elaine was just a teenage girl in school. But it took me a while to discipline myself from calling people fools. But I had to work on it, okay? But I knew that what the Word of God said. And to call somebody a fool is a very serious charge. And the Holy Spirit convicted me through the power of the Word of God. But I had to learn to discipline myself. So we're saved with grace, but then grace collides with discipline and the Word of God begins to teach us things. And then Mr. Newton, long before my time or your time, even Elaine's time. Wrote the words to this song. He says, "'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. 'Tis grace will lead me home." You see, with grace comes discipline. Grace and discipline collide. We can't escape it. Now, is it for God just wanting to be mean and make mandates and requirements of us? No. Not at all. But God wants you and I. He wants us to succeed in our walk with Him. Now, have any of us been zapped into perfection? No, God doesn't have a perfection gun. He looks at us and doesn't work that way. Going back to Sarah's dad, another one of his words of wisdom, He'll say, now let me tell you, life is an education. From a time it starts until it ends. And there's truth in that, but there's also truth. And understand, when we get saved, we have been born again. And we're to start now. And I want to tell you, I was born again 36 years ago, this past March, I was born again. And I got news for you. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I'm still going through discipline. I'm still being taught. So that, God, I may be more like You. So grace and discipline do collide. They do collide. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. You may be in this place, and you may have accepted the grace of God a long time ago, and you may be and have that right relationship. You're saved. But there's still some things that you struggle with. I want you to know God loves you. He blesses you. But He wants you to be successful as you can be. He does have. The one song that they say early this morning, He does have. He has destiny for every one of us. And He wants us to succeed. I want my grandkids to succeed. I have an ambition to see my granddaughter play golf at Radford University. She's never going to do it taking golf lessons from her pa. But if I can pay for her to have them so she can do it, I'll do it. But God wants us to succeed. And He will do anything for us to help us to succeed. Especially teaching us His ways. Grace and discipline collide. And they're tied together. So this morning, I want you to join me in prayer right where you're at. And in this prayer, I want you, in your words, in your own words, I want you to pray and say, God, thank You for Your grace, but I want Your disciplines to collide in my life. I want to be that man of God. I want to be that woman of God. I want to be that teenager of God that You've called me to be. So let Your disciplines invade my life and let me be that person of God You've called me to be. Can you join me in that prayer? Let's all, we're Pentecostal, as far as I know. We acted like it this morning. So let's just all pray together and say, God, just do that in our lives. So Father, as we come to You today, we love You and we bless You right now, Lord. And we worship You. Today, Lord, I thank You for Your wonderful grace, Your marvelous grace. Your grace that saved me. Your grace that came in mercy and love. I just want to thank You for that, Lord. And God, I accept Your grace as the forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. But today, God, I stand before You. And Lord, I want to be all that I can be. I want to be the man of God. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the husband. I want to be the dad. I want to be the grandpa that You have designed for me to be. So God, I'm asking You to do it, Lord Jesus. Teach me. Discipline me in all Your ways, Lord God. Let me know You. Let me walk in Your precepts. Lord, let me walk, Lord, in Your teachings, Lord Jesus. Let me be the man of God that You've chosen for me to be. And God, I pray for this church. I pray for every individual that sits in this church this morning. I just believe, God, that You are just blessing their lives. I believe that You are designing men and women of God, no matter their age, in this place today. I believe, Lord God, that there's people that love You with their heart. God, that are open to Your discipline. Lord, they have a desire to be taught by Your Spirit and Your Word. And I believe, God, that You're bringing us into a place of maturity as individuals and a church. Lord God, we choose not to be illegitimate. God, but we choose to be sons and daughters of God. Lord, we choose to be Your children that are teachable. Lord, give us a teachable spirit in the name of Jesus today. And God, we just believe that You're ministering, blessing and working in Voice of Praise Worship Center as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we turn the service to Sister Vicki for announcements, you can be seated if you'd like. Is there anybody, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you haven't experienced the grace of God. Is there anybody in this room that needs to be saved today? I want to avail to you that opportunity. We'd love to pray with you. I'd love to show you in Scripture how and why you are saved. If there's anybody at all. Anybody at all? Okay. I love you guys. Sarah and I both love you guys. And we're praying for you. It looks good. This is a good looking congregation, good looking crowd this morning. We've got some great plans coming up. But most of all, my goal and my ambition is to see you all grow in the grace, love, and admonition of Jesus Christ. Because whenever I stand and my works are thrown into the fire at the Bema seat, when my works are thrown into fire, I want what I did at Voice of Praise Worship Center, I want it to come out of that fire as silver and gold. I don't want it to burn up as hay and stubble. And I want, Sarah and I want to bless you all and help you in every way we can to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So thank you for being here today. If you're here as our guest, make sure you fill out one of the guest cards so we can know who you are and get a little bit more familiar with you. We love you. Bless you. In Jesus' name.